哎，下午好。我们现在转台了。哎，我中文其实讲的不大好，我不是一个中文的讲员，所以尽量包含。来，我们来再我没有 PowerPoint 了，我们还要帮忙我，因为这个由于时间的关系，我会跳来跳去的哈，我讲重点，因为我这两天不可能把全部讲完。而且我真的因为这个是婚姻的问题嘛，我真的希望我们能够多讲沟通，因为这个是很实际的问题嘛，你要发问这些我们才能可以一起，大家可以学到。我们来看哥罗西书第一章第十六节，这个是我们昨这个又跑出来了，哥罗西书第一章第十六节，没有啊，不用紧，我们来了吗？哎，对，我忘记跟人讲，对，中文的我不是一人帮我读，因为我一中文不行。
因为万有的都是靠他造的，无论是天上的、地上的，能看见的、不能看见的，或是有位的、主治的、执政的、掌权的，一概都是借着他造的，又是为他造的。
这个是我们昨天 讲过的，一切都是靠他造的，都是借着他造的，又是为他造的。我们看罗马书第十一章第三十六节，同样的，罗马书第十一章第三十六节，
我们应该也是可以听英文吧？我们当中有没有谁听不懂英文的？
你用英文讲吗？
应该是都可以听得懂英文。来、
really? So
这样，差不多
同样一批，同样一批人嘛，好像。
对他们都可以听英文，他们都可以听英文 ，Yeah.
Okay, so back to English.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, let's read Romans 11 verse 36. It says, "For of him, and through him, and to him all things do."To him be glory forever. So we have two scriptures that tell us everything is created by him, through him, for him. Now, today, why is it that a lot of marriage fail? Why is it that a lot of marriage is not able to sustain and ended up in divorce? Because, as I said last night, we lost that focus. We thought that marriage is created to make us happy. We thought that marriage is created to solve our lonely issue. We thought that marriage is created to meet our sexual needs. So when our needs are not met, we give up the marriage. We don't fight for our marriage. But if you believe that we are created by God, through God and for God, and our marriage is supposed to glorify God, we fight for our marriage. Because when our marriage fails, we put God to shame.Isn't it true? So we must fight for a marriage. If you believe that this is the focus of a marriage, you fight for a marriage no matter how. When I was teaching in Brazil 2 months ago, the couple was so glad. I started my whole sermon on this verse because in a marriage ring and cuff, it says, Colossians 1:16, he and his wife, he said,they have made this the mission statement for the marriage. And it's true. Every one of us need a mission statement. I mean, in the church, you have a mission statement. In the organization, we have a mission statement, right? So that when we go astray, we come back to the mission statement. But many of us, we don't have a mission statement for our marriage. So what is our mission statement? What is the thing that's going to hold you together? And then last time I talked about a soul mate, S-O-L-E, someone that's willing to or able to walk together with us till we meet our destiny. We need that mission statement to keep us focused. Okay? Most importantly, we, as a Christian, we need to recognize that there are three basic calling in our life. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Am I speaking too fast? Okay? My Singlish, okay? Got it? He said, for those who are old, and for those who for new, he also predestined to be conformed to be the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Actually, I need verse 28 also. Sorry. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love him. Now, this is a verse that is quoted by many Christians. Someone who is going through difficult times, they're like, oh, don't worry. All things work together for good to those who love him. Well, it's true. We can use that verse to encourage. But in the context of this verse, what is the definition of good? The definition of good is in verse 29. To conform to the image of Christ. And this is what Paul is trying to say. Whatever thing happened in your life, whatever trials you're going through, as long as you set your heart to love God, he used a situation to help you to mature, to be more like Christ. Are you with me? Because Christ-likeness is the highest call for Christians. Now, if you understand this, do you know that God uses our marriage to conform us to the image of Christ? Because many of us, when we are outside, when we are church, in church, we are in fellowship, we are not ourselves. We because in family, we are who we are. Our real self come out. And when your real self come out, that's where you see your problem and that's where you changed. You see? And marriage, God used marriage to transform us, to be more like Christ. Let's look at the second calling. Matthew 5:13 and 14. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the earth. Now we all know that. Many Christians, we are very familiar with this verse. We are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the earth. And many of us, probably we can live out this verse in our life easily when we are single. But not many couples can live up this verse together as a couple. As a single, they can glorify God. But when they're married, their marriage itself cannot glorify God. Their marriage itself cannot be a salt and a light for Christ. What is a salt for? We use salt to make a food tastier. We use salt to preserve. So you could ask yourself, does your marriage help to preserve other marriages in the body of Christ? Does your marriages help to preserve other marriages in the society? Does our marriages help to make other marriages better? Many marriages cannot answer yes to that because they are struggling with their own marriage. Their marriage cannot be a salt and a light. In Leviticus 26, verse 8, Leviticus 26, verse 8. Five of you chase 100. 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. You see, if you do your maths, right? It says five of you chase 100, right? 100 of you chase 10,000. Am I correct? But if we do our maths correctly, 500 can chase 100. 100 can only chase 2,000. True or not? 5个人如果可以赶100的话, 100个人只能赶2000个人. 为什么100个人可以变成10,000人呢? What is God trying to tell us? I mean, God doesn't know her mathematics well? 我的主不会算数吗? God is telling us an important thing. The power of synergy. Yesterday we have, no, the first day we have dinner with Pastor. Right? And I learned a great lesson from him. The pastor says one thing. He says that, I used to think that I'm strong. I can do a lot of things. Right? But then she learned when he married Joyce Lynn. She realized that together, they can do greater things. He says that one person, how strong you are, you see 180 degrees. Two person, you see 360 degrees. And it's so true. The power of synergy. If I can shine for Christ, if I can be a salt and light for Christ, together with my wife, we shine brighter. But unfortunately, it's not true for most marriages. They are light for Christ, they are salt for Christ, but after married, they lost the testimony for Christ. Their marriage cannot glorify God. Okay, the power of synergy. And Matthew 18, verse 19. Now, we all know that in the church, what is the most powerful ministry in the church? It's not the pulpit ministry. It is not the worship ministry. The most powerful in the church is the prayer ministry. Correct? The prayer ministry is like the heartbeat of the church. It pumps the blood to every single part of the body. When a prayer ministry is weak, the pulpit will be weak. No matter how strong or how gifted your pastor can be. If the prayer ministry is weak, the worship ministry is weak. The children ministry is weak. Everything, if you really believe the power of prayer. Now, what is the power or what is the key that caused a corporate prayer ministry to be effective? It's not the numbers. It is a unity of prayer. That's why in Matthew 18, 19 says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. All that God needs is two persons to agree and he answers in heaven. Now let's imagine this. In a church, if your pastor calls for a corporate prayer meeting, if the husband and wife at home cannot agree with one another, they come to the prayer meeting. How can they agree with the rest? The corporate prayer meeting, the power is not in the numbers, you know. Of course, numbers play an important part. But the numbers are important if the unity is there. You see? But in the church, if the family and husband and wife are always praying together. They are united. When they come together, it's a powerful synergy. That's why in the church, if you have strong family, you have strong church, you have strong marriages, you will have a strong church. You see? So it's so important. The first calling for us is to be more like Christ. The second calling for every one of us is to be a salt and a light for Christ. And that applies to our marriage. And the third calling I call is a calling that we use to proclaim the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. But we all know in Chinese, 上梁不正,下梁歪. If we are not growing in the Lord ourselves, we are not allowing the pain in our life to conform us to the image of Christ. We are not a salt and a light. When you make disciple, what kind of quality of disciple are we making? That's why the church is doing the Great Commission, but we're not growing from strength to strength. You see? But if a church is strong in the family, they are strong in about conforming to the image of Christ. They are always teaching about the calling our life, conforming to the image of Christ. They are teaching about family life. When they make disciples, they make quality disciples. We don't, in Atlanta, I was saying that we are making 草莓族 the generation Christians, you know. We cannot. We don't have that strength. As I say, we cannot embrace the sovereignty of God in our life. We do not know how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Disciples are weak today. They cannot take hardship. But if our strong ourselves, when we produce disciples, we produce strong disciples who can carry the cross. Today, the only cross we can carry is the pendant. We cannot carry the cross for Christ. Okay? I don't know whether you are familiar with this. So far, any question? No? Okay, let me... Are you familiar with this term called the Seven Mountain? Oh, you're familiar. Oh, okay. So, do you know the origin of the Seven Mountain? 它的原来? Origin. 你懂吗? 听过吗? The origin of the Seven Mountain is, in 1975, God gave two men a dream. One of them was Laurel Cunningham, the founder of YWAM. The other guy was Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade. Now, interestingly, both of them had a dream from God. And they have lunch together. And they share with each other the dream that God has given to them. Right? And God spoke to them the same thing. God says that there are seven mountains in the society. If you want to bring revival into the society, the church, the body of Christ must conquer these seven mountains. What are the seven mountains? Arts and entertainment. Business. No, I need to clean the board. Education. Family. Government. Media. Religion. So when your pastor talk about prayer walk, I mean, we call it a spiritual mapping. Right? We go into a different part of the society and we pray for this thing to be impacted by Christ. Now, personally, I believe that the family mountain, 家庭那个领域, is the foundation of all the mountains. Now, let me explain why. Can I have that? The red, okay, never mind, do. Now, this line represents God's love. Okay? But every one of us who is born into this world, we don't encounter this love. What we encounter is human love. If we are blessed, it's our parents. Some of us, some of the people are born orphans, right? Their human love they encountered is guardian. But unfortunately today, in the society, I don't know about US, in Singapore, parents do not parent their own children. We outsourced our children. Many of them, they will just employ a maid from Philippines, from whatever, and take care of them. Until I heard a story, you know, a child was asking, the mother was asking the child to keep her purse in a very secure place, right? So the child asked, why? He said, oh, because we cannot trust the maid. They might steal the money. Then the child asked, then how come you entrust me to the maid? Huh? We cannot trust our money. We have a foreign maid. We entrust our little children and we say it's our precious to them. At a very young age, sadly, it's happening to Singapore. Some put them in a childcare center. My daughter is a childcare center teacher. Do you know that in a childcare, they are not supposed to carry the baby? If the baby cries, they can pet them. The only time they can carry them is to feed them. And children at that age, few months, they need a lot of human touch. Right? Now, because of this, we created Love, D-E-F-I-C-I-T. Love Deficit. I, the chair, far. Right? Now, every one of us in this room, to a certain degree, we have this. Because none of our parents are perfect. So when we teach about parenting, we teach parents how to close up this gap as much as we can. Right? The more you stray from the Bible, from bringing up your children, the bigger the gap. The more love deficit you have for your children. Right? So as parents, our highest responsibility is to learn from the Word of God how we can close this gap as much as we can to try to parent them with God's love. Because if not, why? What is the result? The degree of this love deficit create another anger, which is rejection. And out of this rejection, create all the negative emotion in us. Insecurity, self-hatred, hatred to self. Some people cut themselves. Drug addiction, gambling, alcoholic, sexual immorality, you name it. You talk to any psychiatrist, you talk to any psychologist, you talk to any counselor, they will tell you the root problem of many people is here. Rejection. But the root is here. To the degree you have, this is the degree of your rejection. And when we talk about the seven mountains, can you imagine the seven mountains are governed by people? Right? And if they are governed, the media, the religion, the education are governed by the people who have so much love deficit in them, so much rejection in them. What kind of things they produce? I mean, look at, you don't have to look far, look at the media. It's getting more and more violence. It's getting more and more sexual. Why? Darkness. After darkness, you produce darkness. You see? That's why Mother Teresa is right. He says, you want to change the world? You go back and love your family first. You see? And just I made that statement. Because why? A dysfunctional marriage created a dysfunctional family. A dysfunctional family created a dysfunctional next generation. The dysfunctional individual or next generation created a dysfunctional society. Today, the whole society is in a mess. Why? The whole family is in a mess. Restoration starts from family. Read the book of Genesis to Revelation. God is concerned about family. And it's about time that we restore the family back to the church. Close up the love deficit, we close up the rejection. Today, a lot of kids today full of rejection, full of love deficit. Right? Any question? Do you understand what I'm saying? No question? Okay, let's move on. How to create the how to create a purpose, how to create a marriage that we can glorify God, so that we can close up the gap as much as we can. Okay. I do the thing. Yesterday, when I was teaching the youth, we talked about these two lines. Remember. We talk about this is a guy, this is a man, and this is the woman. Right? And as we move towards it, we get married here, right? And many people assume and they think that, hey, from here that we don't know each other, we get to know each other better and better. And we assume that after marriage, our marriage will be move, right? Happily ever after. We grow in oneness because the Bible says that we are one flesh. Right? But the truth, unfortunately, I say, most people are like that. They get further and further from each other. And our whole lesson today and tomorrow is to teach you how to come back. Now, my whole topic today is sexual intimacy in marriage. We will dive more into it probably by tomorrow, right? There are some youth here, not married, right? But generally, people here are married. So I've got to be open with what I shared. And I think it's important because most churches don't teach on this, right? And if you don't teach, then where are they going to learn? Now, in my survey, I have a book that I wrote based on Song of Solomon. It's outside. It's only $10, okay? Before I wrote that book, I do a survey. And in that survey, I found out that couples who marry in the first 1 or 2 years, their sexual relationship is about 3 times a week, generally. But between 3 to 5 years, they drop to about once a week. And those who have more than 5 years are very pathetic. It's as bad as once a month or even lesser. Now, my question is, I asked them the same question in this survey. What is your preference if you have a choice? The frequency of a sexual relationship with your spouse. Most of them will say at least 1 or 2 times a week. Now, my question is, if this is your desired frequency, but in actuality, you're doing much less than that, why? Because when we are here, if we are honest with ourselves, we struggle to keep ourselves pure. Right? That's why I spent the whole of last night to keep about sexual purity in dating. Now you have a license. You're not doing it. Why? Because emotionally, we are far from each other. When emotionally we are not closed, we don't have the desire to be close physically. Is it true? Okay. And that's why we're moving further and further from each other. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 13. Can you write the three kind of environment? The three kind of environment. Ephesians 2, 13. Can I have the Bible verse, Ephesians 2:13? No, not working? Okay, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away, have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. He says that, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away. He's saying that as an unbeliever, we were once far away from God. But we all, as Christians, we know that God is an omnipresent God. Isn't it true? Whether you are a believer, you are unbeliever, God is beside us. So when the Bible says he's far away, what is he talking about? The Bible is not talking about distance. The Bible is talking about relationship. Likewise, in the marriage, it's the same. In terms of distance, we still sleep together. In terms of relationship, we could be far away. Right? Some people say marriage is the only relationship or it's the only battle where we sleep with our enemy. Right? Now let me share with you why I started the whole teaching of marriage intimacy. In 1998, I went with my spiritual mentor, and as I mentioned before, some of you might know Sadhu Sundar Sivaraj, the Indian prophet, who I know that he's quite popular now in the US. In 1998, he has this call to go to Tibet to do prayer walk, and I was with him. And for 3 nights, he gave me a prophecy. Right? He says that God will use you and your wife to restore many marriages and family. And we came back and we feel that in our spirit, but how are we going to do about it? There are so many books already written about marriage. Right? There are so many people who really taught. Why can we add anything new to it? And I was praying, and I felt the Holy Spirit put this in my heart. He says, I want you to teach on sexual intimacy. The hardly people touch on. I say, why? He says, because a lot of root problem is there for marriages. They are not fulfilled, they are not satisfied there, but when they go for counseling, they never tell the counselor this is their problem. They will say, this is a problem. But those are fruits, you see. They don't deal with the root. And for that reason, we begin to research on it. That's how we came up with the book, The Song of Solomon. We do a thorough study. We do above, we study verse by verse, line by line, ourselves. And a lot of things that we shared more on tomorrow afternoon, the importance of sexual intimacy in marriage. Because God created it. God created sex to help marriage to grow in intimacy. And it's important. Okay? Because when we deny it and we don't deal with it, you know where the people learn? They learn from the world. And things that they learn from the world are all perverse. Right? Now, God devoted the whole book, the Song of Solomon, to teach about sex. And many churches don't teach on the Song of Solomon at all. Right? That's why Hosea 4:6, my people perished for the lack of knowledge. Okay? Now, in every marriage relationship, there are three kinds of environment. Okay? We have the romantic environment. An environment very much like the dating time. You are still very in love with each other. You are still very motivated to spend time together. You go to sleep feeling love. You wake up feeling love. Right? You feel cherished. You feel satisfied in a marriage. And then we have a conflict environment. You love each other, but you fight each other. You love each other, but you continue to hurt each other. It happens very often. I mean, for me and my wife, we go through this. I come from a broken family. When I was young, my parents always fight. I mean literally fight. When they fight, my mom take knife and chase my father. Yeah. So my father will run away. And when he runs away for months. He never come back. I didn't even know where he is. And now because of that, I never have a relationship with my father. He died when I was about 48, 49. I never sp- spoke to my father for more than 10 minutes. He never knew what I'm doing. Right? So when he died, I never shed a single tear. Not that I don't want to cry. I don't know how to cry for him. No relationship. My wife, her parents divorced when she was 7. Right? Her brother stayed with the dad. She stays with her mom. So can you imagine? Both of us, when we married, she was only 21, I was 25. I was a new Christian then. We love each other. But we do not know how to love each other or make each other feel love. So what did you do? We fight each other. Okay. Now, I always say that relationships go through three phases. In the beginning, in the dating time, it's like a flea looking for a dog. Right? You know, a flea is a pesticide where we look for a large animal that we can suck the blood. So when we do marriage counseling, we ask, oh, why do you want to marry? They say, oh, this one treat me well. He do this, did this for me. Basically, what they're saying is that I found a dog that satisfies me. But when they married, they would have a rude awakening that they never married a dog. They actually married another flea. Because the one that who usually meet their needs, now stop meeting their needs, turn around, expect them to meet their needs. That's where conflict starts, right? Expectation, expectation, expectation. We stop meeting their needs. We turn around. Instead of being a dog to our spouse, we become a flea. We suck their blood. And where do quarrels start? When we try to manipulate. When we try to control and turn the other person into a dog again. He said, hey, look, you were once a dog. You better turn back. You better turn back. That's where the conflict environment starts. And then last but not least, the withdrawal environment is whereby you don't fight anymore, but you also give up. You don't talk anymore. Right? And I grew up in a withdrawal environment. Even when my dad come back, they don't talk. Because when they talk, they fight. So to avoid the fight, avoid the quarrel, we keep a distance as much as we can. Right? And today, a lot of marriages are like that, you know. The children come home, parents don't talk to each other, especially in Japan. You know, in Japan itself, there are about 1 million youth shut themselves in the room, close a window, never come out of their room. There's a term for it called hikikomori. Of course, Chinese, we just call it 自闭症. It's more than that. The parents have to put the food outside the table, outside the door. Right? As and when they want, they open the door, they take the food in, they eat, and they put out again. They never come out. They never see the sun. There's a whole book that I bought, Shutting Off the Sun, talking about Japanese generation. All created because of dysfunctional family. Right? So, it is sad. A withdrawal family, okay? Now, how this whole environment can be controlled by one very important element called the love bank concept that we talked about last night for the youth.
But it's in the other. It's not in the thing.
And I also want to tell you that it is possible for a marriage to remain in a romantic environment no matter how long we are married. Today, we are married for 28 years. After the first 3 years of our fight, when we begin to learn about the marriage principle, in the last 20 years, we hardly fight each other. Okay, sorry, they managed to get it out. Okay, now in this diagram, as I said last night, that every one of us, we have a love bank inside of each one of us. It records how people treat us. If people treat us nice, they make deposit. When people don't treat us nice, they make withdrawal. And in this love bank, there's an invisible line called the love barrier. If the deposit is below the love barrier, right, your marriage will be a conflict environment. But if every day your spouse's love bank is above the love barrier, it means they feel loved, they feel fulfilled, they feel cherished by you, your marriage will be in a romantic environment. And if it goes lower, bankrupt, then you are in a withdrawal environment. So what we need to learn, actually, very simple, is that every single day, if you can maintain in your spouse bank, love bank, above the love barrier, automatically, your marriage is in a romantic environment. Your spouse go to bed feeling love, they wake up feeling love. No need to struggle, no need to fight. We just need to learn the principle. And what we need to do from now on is to learn how we can make deposit to each other bank account. Right? Now, in order to do that, we need to do a small workshop. How many of them are married here, actually? Couple as couple. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 4. 4 couple. 5 couple. Okay, never mind. We have 6 couples. There's not married. It's okay. So we just do a simple exercise, right? We break for about 20 minutes and discuss. For the ladies, what do you think you need the man to do in order to make deposit into your bank account? Many a times, we do not know. Sometimes we don't even know what we want. And the guys do not know. So the guys will discuss, what do you think you must do to make deposit into your wife's bank account? So basically, we are discussing the same thing from different perspective, right? Try to discuss about 7 points, and then we write it on the board, and then we can see the comparison. Okay? We can break for 20 minutes and then we also take a break after that. So we come back about 2:30. Okay? Good.